Champions League Tuesday preview. The round of 16 second leg wraps up. We have Man City against Mönchengladbach, Real Madrid against Atalanta. Jimmy Conrad, James Bench with all the analysis as we preview the Champions League. Que Golazo begins right now. Hey everybody, welcome to Que Golazo, our Champions League Tuesday preview. We have Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy, what's up, man?
What's up, everybody? I'm excited. What a week this is going to be. I'm always excited. People are like, man, Jimmy's always excited. It's true. I'm always excited.
Yeah, but that's how we like it. Always excited, Jimmy. That's what I have written on my sweater. Always excited, Jimmy, is always what I love. And with us, of course, live from London. How are you, James Bench?
I am fantastic. Yesterday was incredibly stressful. It was one of my worst experiences in the stadium in my life, and yet Arsenal still won. Brilliant game. I'm still buzzing off that. I'm just here to talk about the North London Derby, so I imagine that's all we're going to talk about.
No, absolutely. That's all we're going to talk about. No, yeah, we had Heath Pierce on Sunday, Arsenal fan, and now James Bench. This is like, it's too much, everybody. But I want to know, why was it your worst experience at a stadium?
Did you see the last 10 minutes?
You mean like watching it? I thought you meant like getting into it or whatever. They weren't allowing you.
So Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, as we now know, stuck in traffic, basically. I was not right behind him. I was stuck in the same traffic.
Were you the reason why Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang didn't play?
My very old, very slow car. No. But I have much more sympathy with him than Mikel Arteta, because I would have gone, oh, mate, look, I was in that traffic on the A1 as well. You start, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but Jimmy and I talked about this last night. Listen, it's a North London derby. You sleep overnight at the Emirates Stadium if you think that you're going to be
late. How late was he?
I don't know exactly. I know it's not the first time he was late, and that was the issue.
Yeah, that's what we discussed. Was like, there's no way that was a first-time offense. But
Yeah.
80% of success is showing up. All right. All right. Let's talk, everybody. First off, by the way, everybody, before we begin Champions League Tuesday preview, some really good games, obviously coming up as we round up the round of 16. I wanted to talk about Yunus Musah for a second, as it's official. He has selected Jimmy Conrad, the United States of America.
Love it.
He's going to represent the US MNT. Big, big news. Big get, because obviously he's between, you know, a few nations, including, of course, England and Spain.
Sorry, Bench. Well, sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, well, it's not like England, you know, it's, you know, dying for.
Jude Bellingham, Phil Foden, Bakayo Saka. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Here we go.
Golden generation.
Right. Hey, listen. Maybe
can't wait for you guys to choke again.
I don't want to make it into this. Before we carry on, by the way, maybe we'll find out if Jude Bellingham has like a Peruvian uncle or something. Maybe. Jimmy Conrad, I want your thoughts on Yunus Musah for a second. Selecting such a great talent, of course. What do you make of it?
Well, I love the fact that it seems that there was some hard work behind the scenes by a few of our players that are currently on the team. Most notably that I'm seeing out there on the social media, Serginho Dest, really kind of putting the full court press to get him to commit to the U.S. So fair play to those guys for making it happen. Very excited to have someone of his talent on the team. He's 18, got 15 appearances for Valencia this season. Hasn't played the last two games, came off in the 54th minute, the game before that. So I don't know if it's due to injury or just maybe not playing well. I do like that he's with Valencia right now in La Liga. They're struggling, so that means he's probably going to get a lot of minutes, a lot of games. He's going to learn how to deal with adversity because they are on the precipice of getting relegated, which would be a real shame for a club of that size. That's a different conversation. But yes, very excited to have him on. We do have, very similar to England, we do have a plethora of options in this area of the field, but the more the merrier, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to try and get Yunus on this show, by the way, on the lead up as the US MNT face the Reggae Boys, Jamaica, who are making storylines of their own, by the way, and Northern Ireland as well later in that week. But James Bench, what are your thoughts on Yunus Musah selecting the US MNT? Good choice?
Really good choice. And I think one thing that stands out, I wrote a profile piece on Yunus for the site late last year. And one thing that really stands out is this is a guy that knows what he wants, is not afraid to make bold choices. And they tend to work out really well for him. I mean, it's only a few years ago that Arsenal were begging him to stay, really putting on, a convincing show to get him to sign his professional terms. He said no. You know, I think, to be honest, partly he saw that there were young players ahead of him in the pecking order. He's gone to Valencia and he's a regular. I think, I'm sure there, to an extent, I'm sure there's the same thought process with the US, that it's, you know, that it is, you know, with England, it is Jude Bellingham ahead. But I was looking at his quotes.
Listen, Benj wanted to say that he didn't want to say it because he's being polite, but you wanted to say it's because it's easier to play for the US than it is for England. I see where this is going. Go.
Am I US employers? Am I US colleagues?
Yeah, you know, man, that shovel is nice. That's nice.
Jimmy, you're going to cut him. Listen, he's not going to get next month's pay.
I get it. I get where he's coming from. I understand. So,
But Yunus, by the way, just to correct myself, he was eligible to represent the US, Ghana, Italy, and England. And, you know, he chooses the US. And of course, we all know how the USMNT is shaping quite an amazing, not just present, but future for the national team. So a lot more to come. We'll see. All right, let's get going, everybody. Let's talk Champions League Tuesday action. The round of 16, leg two. Let's begin with Real Madrid facing Atalanta. Everybody, they're down 1-0. We know what happened in leg one. Of course, Atalanta held on as much as they could with 10 men, but Real Madrid essentially just got them a 1-0 victory. Karim Benzema, of course, saved the day this past weekend. How do you see this, Jimmy? Real Madrid traveling to Atalanta. What do you have?
Is the referee still going to wear his Real Madrid kit underneath his jersey? Serious. There were a couple questionable calls in that first leg. I'm still not so bitter about them giving a red card to Freuler for that one on Ferlan Mendy, but it's still questionable. That said, Madrid did what they do, which is surviving, and they've done it in the last four games. So they scored against Atalanta in the 86th minute to win that one. The game after that, they played Real Sociedad. It was an 89th minute equalizer. That one ended 1-1. Then against Atletico Madrid, it was 1-1 as well in the Madrid derby. They scored in the 88th minute to equalize, and they just beat Elche this past weekend in the 91st minute. So what I bet I really like is Real Madrid to come from behind to win or draw plus 350, just because I'm going to stick with the trend. And I think that's tremendous value given there. When you look at Atalanta, they are one of the highest scoring teams in Italy and have been for the past few seasons. They didn't have anything going, obviously playing down a man, and fair play to Madrid, were pretty stout defensively. They're going to score in this one. I still think Madrid will get a result, whether they win or all they have to do is match Atalanta to go through, right? Because they have that away goal. And obviously a draw with the win. And then I like Karim Benzema. He scored 5 goals in his last 4 games. I like him to score with his right foot, plus 188. I just don't know. There is the – if you have Karim Benzema to score, both teams to score, and Madrid to win, it's plus 400. I just don't know if Madrid are going to need it. I don't know. If they have the draw kind of locked in, they're not going to go push for that goal. You know, they're not going to need it. So I was a little worried about giving that – as something to consider, but if you guys are feeling it and Madrid's going to do the business, they are unbeaten at home in their last 8, but they have found a way to survive and get results. And so I suspect we're going to see that again. With regard to Atalanta coming off a 3-1 win over Spezia this past weekend, they played Inter Milan and lost 1-0 the week before that, but they absolutely crushed Inter Milan. Inter plays a back three, very similar to what I think we're going to see with Real Madrid this weekend. They had 26 shots on goal against Inter, had no goals to show for it, but were very dominant. And I think that their manager, Gasperini, is going to lean into that result a little bit. I think they're going to get a goal in this one, but Madrid are just, they're slippery, man. You can never pin them down. They're always going to find a way to get a result. However, I do want to say that Casemiro is out due to yellow card accumulation, and that is a big loss for Madrid, especially in front of that back three that I think we're going to see 3 center backs, Varane, Sergio Ramos, and Nacho. And then you're going to have Ferlan Mendy and Vasquez kind of being the wingbacks. Very trendy right now to play 3 center backs and these wingbacks. And without Casemiro, it's different. Fede Valverde will come in, but he needs a big game, hasn't played well or hasn't played a lot lately. So we'll see how that impacts Madrid moving forward.
Yeah, the aforementioned Sergio Ramos returns to the squad. Of course, that's going to be a major addition. But Atalanta get that day extra of rest because that Spezia win was on Friday. So, you know, because of that high press, high altitude kind of game that they play, might help. Muriel, by the way, scored in that one as well. James Benj, what do you make of this? By the way, Eden Hazard, once again, injured.
I'm going to leave him free of any
I just feel bad for him. I just feel bad for him at this point. It's just crazy. But James Benj, what are your thoughts on this game?
Well, firstly, on Hazard, he's now got to the stage where he's injuring parts of his body I've never even heard of before. What is it? It's something that sounds like something that you would say in a comedy, you know, I'm trying to find it here. The Pessoas. It sounds like something you would say in a, oh, right in the Pessoas. And it means something very different.
It sounds like something from Jason and the Argonauts, to be honest with you. Like, he was struck by the Pessoas.
No. It's pronounced Soaz. I had this injury, and it is very frustrating. And it's just this little muscle that's kind of connecting everything. And when it gets aggravated, it can be something. But for me, this is all mental with him. He's had way too many, like, these little niggling injuries for it to be anything other than pressure, expectations, and stress all weighing down on him. And then it manifests itself into these little injuries. I had it before. It really came to the forefront when I had my first baby. And, you know, all of a sudden you take on these other responsibilities that you didn't have before. And it was adding an element that I wasn't prepared for. And it led to me having my first ever hamstring strain.
Wow.
So I can kind of speak to a little bit. I don't know what's happening with him behind the scenes, but I sense that there's probably a little bit something going on. Anyway, it's so ass. That's all I wanted to say.
When your wife had your first baby, by the way.
Yes. Okay. That's
true. But no, thank you for that information. Actually, that helps. But James Bench, back to you. I mean, I just feel sorry for the guy. It's a lot. It's a lot for him. Since leaving Chelsea, it's just been terrible.
I mean, we can go back and relitigate that transfer. It wasn't the right move for Real Madrid, but I think it's really hard because it was the dream move for Eden Hazard. And, you know, it's really sad to see it going this way. When we're talking about stress and strain, I kind of now have had a feeling for what Hazard might have felt over the past few years. Because I came into this podcast thinking, oh, I've done so much research. I've prepared my stat on when Real Madrid have scored their goals over the last few games. I was ready to, you know, 88th minute, 89th minute, 86th minute. And then Jimmy Conrad just turns up and drops it straight out of the blue, leaving me desperately playing catch up here. But anything interesting to say at all?
Sorry about that.
Well, just say it again. It's fine. Our audience can sometimes, you know, zone off for a bit.
They used to
me definitely zone out when I start talking. So go ahead, Ben.
I mean, the one thing I'd say, I'm just going to echo what Jimmy said. There's no sign that Atalanta have slowed down whatsoever since that first leg. You can kind of basically draw no conclusions from that whatsoever, because if there's a team that don't suit being down a man, it's a systemic team like Atalanta. But they're playing great at the moment. I mean, you know, against Crotone, smashed in 5 goals, nearly 3 XG, 1.6 XG against Spezia, you know, 13 shots in the win over, or the defeat to Inter Milan. You know, they're playing great football at the moment. It's just, you know, we keep saying this with Real Madrid, don't we? We keep coming back to, you kind of throw everything out the window and just go, it's Real Madrid in the Champions League. They make it hard for themselves, but they always find a way. And it's just, you know, it's the will to win. It's the Benzema, it's the Ramos, it's the, you know, sometimes it's just a belief that I'm sure Atalanta will feel. You know, if they're 2-1 up in the 88th minute, they're going to expect a goal from Real Madrid, because it just has got to that stage with this club that, you know, they have this habit. And I think it reflects on the pitch, and the opposition feel it just as much as the home team. So you'll see what I mean when we come to predict the score.
Yeah, and you know, you expect this, and especially normally you expect this, Jimmy Conrad, when Real Madrid wins the first leg. From the 8 of their last 9 Champions League appearances, they've won all of those when they've led the first one. But I mean, I want to ask your prediction on the score, your final score prediction, because I think Atalanta's going to do this. I don't know. Maybe I'm a romantic. What's your final score prediction on this?
I mean, you're talking about the most successful team in Champions League history with Real Madrid, with a core of players that have won this trophy multiple times. I think that craftiness and that experience shines through. This is Atalanta's only second time ever in the Champions League and the Champions League knockout rounds. Obviously, they had a nice run. They played against a team that had some crafty players as well in PSG in the last iteration of the Champions League, and they had that lead and they fell apart. So this team does have some vulnerabilities, and when you play against a team that is crafty as Madrid, I think it's going to be difficult. Without Casemiro, though, I think that's a really big loss. He's been driving a lot of things, even offensively. He's getting a lot of opportunities and banging in last-minute goals as well to help the team. I think this is 1-1. There have been under 2.5 goals scored in Real Madrid's last 4 games. I think things are going to be tight. I think they know they don't have to do as much. Atalanta are the ones that are going to have to extend themselves. And then you can have a Madrid team that's looking to counter with Karim Benzema as hot as he is. If they get 1, I just don't see how Atalanta is going to get 2. I mean, I could see it given that we see Madrid, you know, give up three to Shakhtar Donetsk, you know, but I just think this version, this far along in the season and what's at stake, I just don't see Madrid losing this, especially at home.
Yeah. Well, Atalanta are on the longest current run of away victories of any team in the Champions League, but everything goes out the window, as you mentioned, when you face somebody like Real Madrid. All right, James, Ben, give me a final score prediction on this one.
2-2. And yeah, Real Madrid are going to score in the last 5 minutes, breaking Luis's heart.
I just love Atalanta. I know it's stupid to be so romantically involved, but let's see what happens. I mean, Real Madrid is Real Madrid, but you know, one thing's for sure, Atalanta is all or nothing. So you will either see a complete destruction or you will see something quite remarkable. Let us know what you think. Que golazo pod on Twitter. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll do the next game, which is probably a little easier to figure out as Man City face Mönchengladbach. Que golazo, Tuesday Champions League preview. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. I want to tell you what our friends at Sportsline are up during the bracket week. Get every pick, every play, every upset, and fill out your bracket with the help of some of the best sports data analysts in the game. Visit Sportsline now to see which teams will make and break your bracket and see who cuts down the nets, all from the model that beat nearly 90% of brackets last tournament 1 year after finishing in the top 5%. So make sure that you check out Sportsline this March Madness.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome back, everybody, to Que Golazo Champions League Tuesday preview. Jimmy Conrad and James Bench. Jimmy C, Man City, fresh off a good win against Fulham. Pep rotated more than a rotisserie chicken. It was crazy. Another facing Mönchengladbach. I mean, we kind of know what's going to happen, right, Jimmy Conrad?
Yeah, and William Hill is feeling the same way as everybody else. This is one-way traffic. It's going to be complete domination. Man City are the heavy, heavy favorites to win this one. And it's hard to disagree with them. I see a lot of clean sheets that they think Man City is going to win. And it's going to be similar to what we just saw against Fulham, 3-0. I don't think that with Borussia Mönchengladbach, at some point your pride has to kick in. At some point you have to show your best self. They have nothing to lose at this point. Absolutely nothing. They were down to Bayern Munich 2-0 earlier in January, and they came back and won that game. Okay. They were down to Borussia Dortmund 2-1 a couple weeks after that Bayern Munich game, and they won 4-2. Like, they have it in them to respond. They have it in them. They hung with Inter Milan and Real Madrid and absolutely decimated Shakhtar Donetsk during the Champions League group stages. They have the talent. Since Marco Rose has announced he's left or going to Borussia Dortmund, they've lost 6 straight games. For them, it's all mental at this point. So because they have their backs against the wall, really, it doesn't matter. They're all expected. There's no pressure on them. And when you give this collection of players who are super talented, the opportunity just to be themselves and play free, I feel like there's just a lot of weight and expectations. This one, there's not. All these other games, yeah, they should finish in the top four and, you know, woe is me and feeling sorry for themselves. This one, they're not expected to win. And yeah, we could have said that for the first leg, but that was still, everything was in the balance. Everything was even. Now they're down 2-0. They've shown that they have a tendency or an ability to fight back from this situation. I kind of like them to score. I don't think they're going to win, but I like them to score. So the bets that I have is Man City to win, both teams to score plus 165. But the one risk that I would throw in there is a drawn first half. I could see a 1-1 first half and then Man City to ultimately win the second half at plus 310. I like that one a lot, but I can't subscribe to just Man City's just going to do whatever they want for the full 90 minutes. I think Mönchengladbach are finally going to show a backbone, and I think it's going to be in this game, and hopefully that'll salvage their season in the Bundesliga as well.
Yeah. James, from a player perspective, lineup perspective, I was super confused by Mönchengladbach in the first leg. Brillembolo didn't start. Thuram didn't start. I'm wondering if you'll see something different now. Also, from Man City's perspective, it's been a while since Raheem Sterling has done much. Obviously, he didn't start midweek. He didn't start in the weekend. So what are you expecting in this game as Man City leads 2-0?
I mean, if there's a manager in Europe that's going to if there's an elite manager in Europe that's going to overcomplicate this simple task, it may well be Pep. I know this sometimes feels like a cliche, but you know, we only have to go back to games as recent as that Lyon game. And it was interesting to see him experiment with a back three. Against Fulham, I don't know if that was just because, you know, it allowed him to rest some players and maybe it's something he's looking at for later in the competition, but you know, maybe this is him. He does have a tendency to overcomplicate. Having said all that, I can't quite buy Jimmy's view, not because I doubt that Gladbach, that the pride will kick in and that, you know, there will be a desire to do well, but that I do really think that City are one of the best teams out there for just smothering, you know, that optimism, that belief that you can turn this around, because you can't get the ball off them. You know, when you attack, when you open up, they will swarm in behind, whether they play Mahrez, Sterling, who is a bit off picture, but doesn't really matter because you play Phil Foden instead, or you can play, you know, the front two of Jesus and Aguero. I think they are a really effective team at throttling that hope in teams, such that so often in this season, you've seen teams get 2-0 down against City. Remember, I think it was Burnley did this, and they were just like, right, let's stop there. Let's just take it. Arsenal are a great example of this as well. Let's just accept the defeat, move on, keep our, you know, low block, reserve our energy levels, and we'll build from there. Equally, I just think this might be a game where City just feel, if they feel like handing out a tonking to pretty much any team except Man United, they can do it. You know, any team that's on the fixture list now, they can beat convincingly if they fancy. And I think there are players out there with a point to make. I had this down as a really convincing City win. I think their football they're playing is spectacular. And I don't think there are more than a handful of teams that can stop them playing that way right now. The only team that can stop them is themselves.
Yeah, I was just going to say that line. You're spot on. I think the only team that can stop Man City is Man City itself. I mean, when you look at the first leg, more than 60% possession. Mönchengladbach only had one shot on target. And I think that's actually not even good enough for Pep Guardiola. So, but I do like what Jimmy said, that I think the first half will be a little bit more hesitant than we think. I think it'll be a little tighter than we think. And then maybe in the dressing room at the break, Guardiola will be like, what are we doing? Let's wrap this up because we got other things to worry about. So Jimmy, give me your final score prediction, you know, as we look to wrap this Tuesday Champions League preview up.
I'll say 3-1 City. I was almost 2-1 City. Ultimately, to all Benja's points, and I can understand why there's a strong disagreement with me. There's really no rationale to say why all of a sudden Borussia Mönchengladbach, who've lost six straight, are going to come out of nowhere and actually fight. But I do think that there's going to be something there. I'm just maybe leaning on some previous playing experience to tap into something. But I feel like it's more of a hope and a wish than actual reality. That said, I still feel like they're going to find a goal. And maybe to your point, Luis, they're going to bring on those guns just to just go for it. You lose 3-1, 5-0, you're still going to lose. But like, at least put yourself out there and put out a performance that you and your fans and your staff can all be proud of. Right now, they give up a goal and their heads go down. They did it against Augsburg this past weekend. they were actually in control, missed the penalty. Lars Stindl missed the penalty, and then they give up a set piece. And I looked at the body reaction. So I'm not looking at the Augsburg celebrating. I'm looking at all the Mönchengladbach players, and all their heads go straight down, like, oh, here we go again. If they can score first, maybe they can get a little bit of that juice, that little bit of belief that I think can – I don't think they're going to go through, not going to pass City here, but at least put out a performance that they can be proud of. I'll say, you know what, I'll go back. I'll say 2-1 in favor of City.
2-1. All right. Well, that definitely sends City through. Before I go to James Bench for a second, Jamie, I wanted to ask you something very quickly. We've talked about this before. We've just gone on about it, but I want to go over about it again because I think it's ridiculous. So Marco Rose, he's going to Borussia Dortmund this summer. You're a player, right, in that dressing room from Mönchengladbach before this game. Like, some of it is going in your head about that, no?
Oh, 100%. But this is a really good and important opportunity for Marco Rose to be professional with his own players. I don't know what's being said behind the scenes. They might have been blindsided by that news and read it on social media just like the rest of us. And if that's the case, if he wasn't being clear and transparent with what's happening, then yeah, I could understand why they're on a 6-game losing streak. So I don't really know what's happening behind the scenes, but I would sense that if I'm a manager, like, hey, this is it. Like, this is our first ever opportunity. This is our first ever Champions League knockout round. Do we want to go limping out? Do we want to go, you know, obviously we're playing a tremendous opponent, but we've held our own against some of the best clubs in the world so far to get to this point. Let's do it again. So it really just depends on how he packages his messaging. And if they can just leave that to the side, they're not playing particularly bad, but they're just not making the plays that they need to make to win games, missing penalties, not making saves, not marking people on set pieces. So they've lost a little bit of that mojo that made them one of the more special teams in the first half of the season.
Yeah. James Bench, final word with you then. How do you see this unfolding? I think I know where you're going to go, but just give me your final score prediction.
Well, I'm so, Jimmy's message has got to me. I feel like I could go out now and maybe nick a goal against City. So give it a damn good go. Got my professional pride here.
Where would you want to play?
It's terrible. I'll go up front for Gladbach. I'm never going to see the ball anyway.
Benjamin Thuram. I want to see it.
He can make the runs. I'll do the hold up play. Again, I predicted 4-0 for the site, but Jimmy's got to me, man. I say 2-0. 2-0. But there's no shame in losing 2-0 to...
No, there's not.
There's no shame in losing 3-0. Like, this team is just amazing. Go on, Gladbach. Prove us right.
Yeah. I don't see a goal from Mönchengladbach in this one. I see 2-0 again. I'm just going to say a repeat, and it'll be a 4-0 aggregate. But let us know what you think, everybody. Que Golazo Pod on Twitter, James Bench, Jimmy Conrad on Twitter as well, LMHGaray on Twitter as well. Right, that's it. That's our show. I hope you enjoy the Champions League. Before we say goodbye, any final word from both of you, Jimmy Conrad?
I can't wait to text you guys when Mönchengladbach. Yeah. I can't even say it. I'm so excited to get my joke out. But yeah, I can't wait to text you guys when Mönchengladbach scores.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. James Bench?
I don't know if you were going to promote this, Luis, but I've just filled out my first ever March Madness bracket. I'm really excited.
Well, I got to do that. Well done, James Bench. Well, funny you mentioned that, but yes, at the very beginning of our show, we have a little promo that I record earlier. And James Bench has done his very first bracket. And watch him win it, by the way. Just wait.
I went for Michigan.
Ooh, one of their key players is out for the first few rounds, I think. But, you know,
I wish I knew that.
He might be bad by then. But anybody, Tuesday Champions League. Thank you so much. Jimmy, thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, James Bench.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and James Bench for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, Small Speakers, CBSSports.com. Stay with us because we have recaps, previews, and much, much more on Que Golazo. Have a great week.